Coming up on today's show.
I just want to encourage people to step through their grief and to truly find hope. It is something that is so clearly a gift from God.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Plus, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Oftentimes when an athlete does something heroic, meaning a dramatic action that leads to victory, we hear them being interviewed afterwards and talking about, I could just hear coach's voice in that moment telling me to do what I do best. Or maybe a statement such as, I flashed back to all those times going back and forth in the car to games and practices and being told over and over, this is all going to pay off someday. Our nature is to question that and say, in that split second during game action, that all went through his mind? Of course, we have these experiences too in our faith life where we recall something from a homily or even our early religious education or a spiritual resource like a book or a movie, but we wonder if it's real and will lead us to the victory that is eternity in heaven, or if we're trying to talk ourselves into something, trying to manifest or force a desired result, convincing ourselves that the Lord has guided our decision. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, quote, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest participated as a young student athlete in cheerleading, volleyball, softball, and basketball. She was captain of the volleyball team 2 years after the team went undefeated in the conference, won sectionals, and advanced to state for the first time in program history. In her adult years, she continued her athletic involvement in leagues for both sand volleyball and softball. She is a number one best-selling author of 5 books and is a speaker and certified grief coach, as inspired by having lost 2 of her 4 sons in the last few years, with one of the boys having been very active in ice hockey and powerlifting. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Diane Ninus.
Thank you so much for having me on, Bruce.
My pleasure. Let's have you start us off with where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
I was born and raised in a small town in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, and I am actually one of 15 children.
I'm sorry, my mouth fell wide open and my eyes got like flying. One of 15 children?
I get that a lot. Yes.
How many boys and girls, and where were you in all that?
So there are 10 girls and 5 boys, and I am number 14.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. much. I'm pretty comfortable saying this is a new Catholic Sports Radio record. In the more than 6 years, I don't think we've ever had anyone, one of 15 kids. Amazing. It sounds from what I read in the lead up to today that you were very much brought up in a Catholic household. Yes? Describe what that looked like when you were a young girl.
Yes, we definitely were. As you can imagine, trying to get that number of children to church wasn't probably, you know, the easiest task to take on. But to be honest with you, by the time I was born, my oldest sister was actually getting married. Mm. So there wasn't really a period of time when we were all living underneath one roof. Mm. And, you know, just due to people's schedules, sibling schedules, we often, you know, were not able to all attend, obviously, at one time either. But we were very much regular attendants of our Catholic local church.
But being that you mentioned that it was a small town, hold on a second, let me talk to the audience. I know. She said she's one of 15 kids. Why is he asking if it was a Catholic household? Of course it was. There's 15 kids. Give me a break. You said that it was a very small town. So was there a Catholic school that you're able to attend despite what a small town it sounds like it was?
Yes, there was. And actually my dad was for a period of time a custodian for that Catholic church. A lot of my older siblings actually attended the Catholic Church as a student, but by the time I came around, I went to public school.
Okay. I love this story that you have about family sports. I would like you to tell us about all your athletic involvement that I referred to in the intro, but first, share with the audience about what all was taking place literally in your own backyard when you were growing up.
We actually had a really unique situation. My grandma and grandpa had about 55 acres of land, and my mom and dad moved to the east of them, and my aunt and uncle moved to the west of them. And so amongst this land that we owned, we also had our own baseball diamond, and it's set up for just a really beautiful space for us during holidays and family gatherings to have our own little competitive game of baseball with each other.
That is so cool. And you had plenty of participants, right, with 9 per side and cousins and things like that. And
right.
I hope, audience, that you know that I pride myself in the research that I do, the preparation for these conversations each week. And I don't know where I got the number 11 from. I thought that Diane was one of 11, so I'm still really hung up on 15. But Diane, please continue, because I said in the intro that you were doing cheerleading, volleyball, softball, basketball. So at some point, never mind what was happening with what you just described in terms of, yay, we had our own baseball diamond behind us. You got bit by the sports bug to be as active as you were in all those different sports.
Yeah, we had a local park that was just down the street from us as well. So we had the traditional park and rec activities that were offered. And it was just so fun to just, you know, really gather together and be able to be on a team and just cheer each other on. And then it definitely, something along the way definitely did give me that bug to be in a more competitive state. And that probably hit more towards my high school years when I was on the volleyball team. And the team that year was actually pretty successful in the seasons that led, you know, from freshman to sophomore year and then on to senior year. The team, you know, just had real good competitive abilities and it made it really fun.
We're going to turn the corner here and go in a direction that is going to make this a rather unique episode of the show, kind of a special edition of Catholic Sports Radio, if you will. Audience, in my interview 5 weeks ago on episode 322 with Ralph Linsmeyer, I used the expression, no parent should outlive their child. And Ralph went on to talk about having lost his son a few years ago, but then also the Fruitful Futures Project that he launched as a Catholic response to his son having passed away. And now here we are on episode 327. And sadly, Diane, as I mentioned in the intro, you have lost two of your sons in the last few years. Although, like Ralph Linsmeyer, you have not curled up in a ball and hidden yourself away from society either. As we turn our conversation to the powerful and inspiring stories of your two boys, let's have you start by talking about Leo first, since you knew at a very early age with him that there were going to be medical challenges.
Yeah, Leo was actually, when he was born, everything was fine. He was more than capable and hitting all of his milestones. And at age two, his health drastically changed. He was diagnosed with leukodystrophy, and it basically stripped him of all of his motor functions to the point where he was kind of trapped in a still body and unable to move or speak or eat. And with the help of working with some holistic doctors, we were able to get Leo detoxed. He had some high levels of metal in his body, and we were able to get him back to utilizing a walker. And in this time period of his health transition, it was just, you know, out in the community, it was an opportunity for people to see someone who was maybe doing things a little bit differently. And people would take notice of the activities and the way that Leo kind of embraced life and just the adventures that we still made possible for him. And the walker then led to using a wheelchair, and the adventures didn't stop. We were able to get out and have Leo, you know, actually play baseball. He was able to do football in the backyard with us. We were able to take him to the roller rink and to the ice rink, and even take him off of the diving board, which was incredible, you know, to just see how a community came together and, you know, with the help of lifeguards to make that possible, to walk him out across the diving board and be able to drop him into the water and just have, you know, everybody cheer for him. So it was very inspiring.
I wonder, I have a cousin who, when he and his wife, when one of their daughters was born, she was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy. And they told my cousin and his wife, she will not make it past the age of two. Were you told anything like that when Leo was diagnosed?
We were actually told that Leo most likely would not see his third birthday. Wow. And the way his health was progressing that first year of diagnosis, it truly looked like that was going to be, you know, the route that was going to be taken. But God definitely had a different plan.
Yeah, to make it to 16 instead of three is a blessing. And I know that's tough to see when, as I said before with Ralph Linsmeyer, no parent should outlive their child. But I think when you hear your son is two and he's only going to make it to three, if they would have told you he's going to make it to 16, that'd be a very much different reaction. Before we get into what took place medically with your son, Trent, let's bring some sports into the conversation and have you fill the audience in on all that he had done athletically.
Trent was one of those kids that just had some natural athletic talent, you know, from a young age. He started his hockey career in roller hockey, and that transitioned into playing ice hockey for the youth program here locally. And it just continued to progress through his high school year. And then on to college, he actually played for the Mosinee Papermakers, which is like a semi-pro team. And during that, it transitioned into his love for refereeing, which I think just gave him a different perspective of the game. He started doing youth hockey games when he was a youth himself, and it just, you know, took so much pride in passing those refereeing tests year after year, to the point where he actually was able to ref at the NCAA level. And so, yeah, he was definitely on the route of pursuing his dream. Ideally, he wanted to become an NHL ref. And, you know, his just raw skating talent, along with his ability to, you know, have a complete understanding of the game, definitely looked like that was the route that he was going.
And he competed in powerlifting, too.
Yeah, he had such a different love and passion for, you know, nutrition and fitness. And, you know, he started in CrossFit, which was just a different, you know, a whole different mindset to then transition into powerlifting. And he was able to compete at the world competition in Nevada and took first and second place, the first attempt that he had taken in his weight category. So he put the hard work in. That never, you know, went unnoticed. But the gift of just that physical ability was definitely something that God gave him.
Audience, I'm having a little trouble. I think we hear it in Diane's voice. I don't mind telling you that this is not the easiest interview for me to do. It admittedly is a tough episode to listen to. I wish there were not any Catholic Sports Radio interviews where we had to hear the stories like what Diane is here to share with us this week, but that's not reality. After all, when it was Lent, weren't we remembering the Son of God, for Pete's sake, being put to death at the age of just 33? The fact is, as you're going to hear, Diane is impacting lives and touching people through her witness, through the stories about her sons. You might not get to go to one of her talks, an event where she is the featured speaker, but through this ministry, you get a front row seat to hear her witness. And my prayer, and I'm sure it's hers too, is that it helps just one person in the Catholic Sports Radio audience. And keep in mind, it might not be you directly, but maybe there's someone you know who you're going to say, you know, so-and-so needs to hear Diane's story. It could really help them. And then you're going to tell them to listen back to this installment of my show. That's one way that you can help my ministry, bring more people to Catholic Sports Radio. And together, we're then trying to bring more people closer to Christ. We're a team, right? Now, another way that you can participate in this ministry is coming alongside me with all the costs that I face in keeping everything going, both on and off the air. I recently started to add up just a few of the monthly expenses that I knew off the top of my head. And just to be honest, it got too overwhelming. I got a little too anxious as the numbers were adding up. I stopped. I didn't want to roll up my sleeves and dig into what the total figure might actually be. I was fortunate to recently receive a show of support for this ministry from someone who instructed me to keep their identity anonymous, but they used the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. Trust me when I say that any and all gifts of that nature, meaning regardless of the amount, really, really help. When it gets to where I was mentally, emotionally, thinking of what the monthly costs are for this ministry, it's a blessing to get that email saying that someone has sent money through that option on the website. I pray that, just like this individual I'm referring to, you too might feel moved to utilize the Donate to CSR button on the website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or, just like this person did when I made contact via email to express my gratitude, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Diane, before all that, you had told us about Trent and everything that he did sports-wise, but fill the audience in now on what ultimately took place that spanned the final 4.5 years of his life.
So at age 26, Trent was reffing a hockey game, and he actually had fallen on the ice, which isn't a very common occurrence for the referees. And so the trainer had checked him over, and she had, you know, kind of concluded that it looked like he had a concussion. So Trent was thinking it was maybe a side effect from a previous car accident that he had had like a week or two prior. And so he had to exit the game. And it was amazing how quickly things escalated from there. His stability and, you know, just his vision, his ability to walk a straight line, all of these things, he was starting to slur his words. We took him into the doctor, and they did think that he had like post-concussion syndrome. And it just continued to progress pretty rapidly in the next day or two, to the point where we then went in to have a CT scan. At that moment, they had found a mass on his brain, and we were told that we would need to transport to a different hospital, that they would be more equipped to handle what they were finding. On that transfer over there, it was just a reflection of, you know, what I had already gone through once in my life with my other son, Leo. And it was at that time with Leo, we thought he had a sprained ankle when we took him in, and it turned out to be, you know, the neurological disorder of leukodystrophy. So my drive, you know, to the hospital following Trent, I'm thinking it's a concussion. And we arrive and we find out that he's being diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme, which is brain cancer. And everything in the hospital just happens so quickly. The decisions are just having to be made. You know, he was in a lot of discomfort because his tumor was actually located right in the hub of his brain. So where the spinal fluid travels, it was being blocked and it was causing pressure in his head. And so they had to do an emergency shunt placement. And, you know, you're in the hospital for a couple of weeks just having all of this transpire, and because of where his tumor was located, they weren't able to do any debulking of the tumor, and so his only options were going to be, you know, radiation and chemotherapy, which, you know, both of them were not going to have a positive long-term effect. It was going to prolong his diagnosis from what they thought would maybe be about, you know, 6 to 8 months untreated, but then less than 2 years is what they were giving him at that point.
Wow. This is where I wish I could use AI to take over for me and clone my voice and finish the interview. This is tough. And so, audience, again, Diane lost Leo at age 16 and Trent at age 30. Let's start with the obvious question, Diane. In both cases, although I would say maybe even more so the second time because it was the second time, did you get mad at God and question why this was happening, why you were outliving not one but two of your boys? Walk us through the faith angle of all this.
This faith perspective is honestly the piece of my story that I just want to encourage people to step through their grief and to truly find hope. It is something that is so clearly a gift from God. And it was through Leo that I was able to gain such peace through the diagnosis of these two boys overlapping in their illnesses. At age 3, Leo started actually having visions and conversations with Jesus. He was actually sharing with us and foretelling us about incidences in our family that were occurring before we knew of them. In a 7-year time period, we lost 8 family members, including my mom and dad and my brother and aunt and uncle, and then like Leo and Trent. And Leo actually had told us, which was this beautiful story, while I was at the doctor with Trent, Leo was at home with my husband, Tony, and he had shared with Tony that Jesus was getting ready for Trent and that the doctors were finding a tumor. So my husband, when I called in to tell them what was happening, he said, "I already know," and shared with me what Leo had shared with him. And there was so many moments of situations like this over the course of Leo's lifetime that just built my faith in this time of tremendous sorrow, to be able to see that God's hand was on all of it, even when we felt like we were in the darkest of valley. And so during this time of Trent's diagnosis and what he was enduring, there was peace that was settling on my heart, because he had kind of drifted away from his faith when he went away for college. He had studied biology, but God, you know, gave this beautiful time to us that in his diagnosis, we brought him back home with us. And he spent time sitting next to Leo, and he witnessed on several occasions Leo's conversations with Jesus. And it was through his faith that Trent's faith was restored. And it's just like this beautiful thing that we all hope for at some point, I would believe, in our life, that when we reach our home in heaven and God, you know, and there's someone there that is able to tell us, "I'm here because of you." And I feel like it's that moment that my sons will have, because they truly took the hardest thing in life, the willingness of like truly knowing that their time was coming to an end, and they were able to encourage others through their hard times and just inspire others to see beyond what you are enduring in this moment in life, that there is something so beautiful waiting for us.
Yeah, and the fact that you mentioned that Trent was able to sit next to Leo and witness some of those conversations, it gives you even more peace knowing that now the two of them are sitting next to each other together in heaven, and you see God's hand in that too. And audience, there is a website for the various activities that Diane has. I'm going to put a link to it on the show page for Diane's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, so you can go and get more information not only about her books, but Diane, as a speaker, and this might be repetitive, but even if it is, if it's the same answer as what you just gave us, I think it bears reinforcing, but maybe you're going to tell me something different anyways. When you do go out and speak at events, tell us how you are turning grief, how you are turning deep personal loss into positive, inspirational messages for the various people that you go out and talk to.
I feel like it's one of those things where when you witness what I was able to see, I cannot shout, you know, from the mountaintop any louder about the hope that God surrounded us with. And so when I am able to have those opportunities to go and speak to people, just truly sharing what we witnessed here at home and the ability to see beyond our time here on earth, and that we're, you know, striding and longing for this place of the promised land to be in the midst of our Heavenly Father, it's just such an honor to be able to share what God had used as instruments here and you know, and before me, to be able to let others see the beauty of how He can truly take something that appears to be the ashes of our sorrow and just turn it into a beautiful garden of His glory. And so I think when just sharing how we moved through all of the stages of our own experience, I think personal testimony has so much power because it's got relatable aspects to it, that it might not be the particular, you know, element of grief or hardship that you are going through personally, but when you see that there's hope in being able to step through it, I think it really provides a lot of encouragement for people.
Amen. Amen. And for the person that comes to one of your talks and thinks, you don't get it, Diane, my husband was just given 6 months to live, you go, I do get it. I've had to lose two of my sons to get it, but I do get it. So you're spot on when you say that personal testimony is really what hits home. And I want the audience to know, in case they haven't already figured it out, that you are, in fact, practicing what you preach. Let's be honest, we're all human. I'm sure you have moments when you still stop in utter disbelief, but still there you are, going on an Acts retreat, participating in the Eucharistic pilgrimage, participating in the Women of Christ conference. I would say that while many people would turn away from the Lord in times of tragedy like you have endured, you, on the other hand, as evidenced by those three events I just mentioned, plus extensive involvement with your parish, you have done the opposite and run towards God the Father.
I have seen the power of His comfort and the way that He held my boys. And I just can't imagine, honestly, walking through this journey without faith. It would be a state of just, you know, complete despair and just a sense of being so lost. And for me, I have just seen the way that God has guided me. It's a continual path to His light. And that was the way that both of the boys saw things while they were in their dark moments. They kept turning to Him and turning to Him, and that peace, you know, like especially with Leo, there was a tremendous amount of pain that his body endured, but he had such a calmness about him and just the light within him, and that can only be provided from Jesus. And same with Trent, you know, he took what was his exterior strength and his muscles that were built, but it was the spiritual muscle that was just what left me in awe to see how God could carry him through. You know, when you're a young man and you are in like the prime of your life and you're being told your life is no more, the acceptance was just so beautiful. And I believe that that acceptance can only come from the belief of what Jesus did for us.
Two final questions, and then we'll wrap up. As a certified grief coach, what does that look like to the person who is listening in New Mexico, and there you are in Wisconsin? Do you do virtual one-on-ones with people through video conferencing? Is it, no, I'm sorry, it's only in person locally? I know there are people out there that are hearing your story and it's touching their heart because they're going through something similar. And I did mention that I'll put a link to your website, but when people go there, will they have the ability to contact you to get help remotely or no?
Yes, there is a link on the website for those services in particular. And, you know, I would never want distance to be something that would keep the opportunity to bring that hope to somebody. So it is definitely an opportunity.
Okay. Well, let's close by having you share with us about your husband, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as about your other two sons.
So my husband and I were actually high school sweethearts, and and before that, I've actually known him since I was in sixth grade and he was an eighth grader.
Wow.
So I don't feel like I know life really honestly without him.
Wow.
And it's, you know, beautiful to see how through all of these years, because there's so much more even to our story than what I've shared with you today, that we were able to endure and overcome. And, you know, that alone, when we're talking about grief, you have to imagine like the grief that it puts on a marriage when you are trying to go through the loss of a child and how often that will unfortunately lead to an end of a marriage. But, you know, Tony and I realized that we were going to grieve differently and that we just needed to allow each other to grieve the way that we were supposed to. And as we were climbing that mountain together, to be able to know that we needed to sometimes stop and help the other one up. And so I find that it's been, you know, another layer of love that's been added to our story.
Wow.
Because there's nothing that like links the hearts of a couple more than the loss of a child, because it's truly something that is a piece of both of you. And so I can't imagine continuing this journey without him. And my other two boys, I couldn't be more proud of them. Matthew lives out on the East Coast. And through all of this, you know, situation with our family and what he witnessed, it turned him into just having such a loving heart. He had worked for a lot of nonprofits. He became like a wish granter after he saw Make-A-Wish grant Leo, you know, such a beautiful wish. And he now works for the Philadelphia Catholic Archdiocese. So I just see he has just a heart for giving. And my youngest son, Oliver, will be graduating from UW-Madison, and he is going to be pursuing his career in industrial engineering. And I just, you know, when I look at what Oliver has endured, he lost two brothers during his high school years. And he bottled all of that up and just became such a strong young man that has a true love for life. Like, he has joy that is in him because he witnessed so personally how quickly life can change. And I just think like the open communication in our family in general just led to, you know, us being able to move through all of this together.
This is such powerful testimony, but I'm glad that you said what you said about your marriage, because when you said how long the two of you have known each other, immediately my mind went to that makes such a difference in dealing with what you had to deal with. So the whole interview was great testimony, but that was very important, and I want to underscore that so that it's not overlooked, because it was the last question of our conversation. Diane, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family and audience. Please do go visit Diane's website so she can learn more about her story and all that she has to offer to help her fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Diane, thank you again.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your time and all of the things that you do with your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you. And audience, it's only fitting that we close this week's episode with our prayer for parents. Let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family, and to make our home another Nazareth, May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.